I'm Derek.
And welcome back to Under Your Roof.
And In Your Backyard with Dean and Derek.
So today's subject.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of hearing this title.
What?
Because it's like so general. Everybody uses it now.
What's the title? What are you talking about?
Outdoor living.
I'm not calling it outdoor living. I'm talking about your backyard. I mean, you want to... Outdoor living is such a huge category. You're out of your mind just to talk about outdoor living.
But if you're in your backyard,
what's
you're
the name
outdoor
of the show?
And
what's,
you're living.
What's the name of the show? What's the name of the show? What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
What's
just
the name
give
of it?
Me a moment. Wait. Just give me a moment. It's Dean and Derek.
No.
Yes.
It's Under Your Roof. And in your backyard.
I just wanted you to say
yeah, it, see, all. Right. So we're in the backyard today. That's what we want to focus on.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of stuff to talk about inside the house.
All right.
But we want to focus in your backyard because the truth of the matter is, you know, I don't know when you're listening to this, but tis the season now. Right. Everybody's on the patios.
So now that you
outside.
And I are doing a different phase of our business, we do a lot of consulting.
Yes.
What I try to get people to do, whether you live in a two-bedroom ranch with a 10-by-10 patio, or you have a gorgeous house overlooking the water and you're going to do 800 square feet of bells and whistles.
Yep. Is that a new stone?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always, the first thing I start with them is say, I want you, these choices, these things that are confusing you, these things that you don't know if you want that or you want this, you want to do that or do that. It's very difficult because you're forgetting a couple of things.
What's that?
Number one. If you were doing your kitchen inside your house, how easy would that be? You'd know exactly where the stove's going to be. You're going to put the island over here, the refrigerator over here. You want the refrigerator over here because when you have guests by the island, you don't want to be bumping into them when you're going back and forth the refrigerator. You don't want to put the island right next to the stove so when you're cooking, people are standing over you and bumping, right?
Are you on speed?
No, but
talking very fast.
It's the truth because I'm on a roll.
Okay.
When you walk out your door in your backyard, it's the same exact thing.
Flow, it all comes to
flow,
but
function.
Function. That's it. Number
function
one.
Function and flow work together.
True, but number one is function. If you don't know what this space is for, then just stop right there. How are you going to use it? How many times have we asked people and they say, well, we'll just eat out here. You know, we're just going to hang out. What does hang out mean for you and your family? Like, do you have, how many kids do you have? How about this one? What's the big party? Do you have a big party every year? How many people say, I want to build this area because we do a big family reunion every year, and you and I say, well, how many people is that? Well, that's about 75 people. Oh, okay. Well, if you want to
have a space that will work with that
and not feel cramped, then, you know, we don't have to have a patio that's going to fit 75 people all the time, but we should think about a multifunctioned space.
So right? What do you like to do? I go back to ourselves. We both have pizza ovens.
Yes.
I made my backyard like little Tuscany. Your backyard's really cool, cottagey with brick,
bungalow cottage,
right?
Yeah. Right.
I know I've designed mine just like yours. I've designed mine to where I can work the pizza oven and not have people in my way, but still socialize.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like cattle. Men and women never change from high school. Here's the point.
I am so confused.
Here's the point. Ready?
Yeah, I'm confused.
Men,
yes.
When they go to like an outdoor barbecue or cookout,
yes.
Hardly ever sit down.
That's true.
They stand where the food is or where the alcohol is, and they talk to whoever's cooking the food or they hang with the guys talking about whatever. Women always go to the comfy chairs and the tables, and they socialize with the men.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a comfortable area to relax and sit down. They don't like standing all
day.
No,
that's true.
Where guys will stand all night. We go back to high school.
It's like a high school dance. It's like a high school dance.
So you agree with that. That's a pretty good analogy.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. On the top of the fact that most women want to get away from their husbands at these parties. So they're like, I'm going to go sit over there. Because I know he's going to go over there, you know?
Just because your marriage has some issues right now, we don't need to discuss that with everyone.
Me or the people listening.
I know.
No, but it's true. That is the psychology of it all is very interesting.
It is, but it's true. So that's part. It sounds like crazy, but that's the way you kind of start to design your place, especially if you have a cooking and an outdoor area like that.
Because not a lot of people are into cooking. Some people just want that grill. Or they want to cook inside and just come out and have the food right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you have stairs going down to your patio.
Yes.
So for you to go back up into that
pain
kitchen
in the neck.
Is a pain
so
in the neck.
So I have it designed
but
where
man,
I have
your
everything
thighs
out there.
Are in the best shape possible
large,
right now.
Large, yeah. Large.
But mine, I go out through the family. Remember, I designed it this way. I have a French door and the family room, open them up, down one step, right there. So I
run. Right? So right, you don't have your table in front of those steps. So when you're running in, or you have a bunch of guys standing with beers in their hands, where you're like, excuse me, pardon me, I got to go get steak. Your flow, you can fly in and fly out without anybody
What you need in your space is an outdoor refrigerator.
I do.
You do. Because you would use that. I don't need an outdoor refrigerator yet. I really don't. Because I can easily go inside and grab stuff and come out.
Right.
I'd like one.
And mine's by the way, hike at the end of the pizza of the night, I felt like I've done a week's
and,
worth
and
of squats.
And cooking pizza and steak tips and all that is a lot of work because you buy that thousand.
Right. So it goes back to function and flow, right? Number one. So when you're walking your backyard with your spouse or you, whoever, your roommate, when you walk in the backyard, think about flow and function. What do you really want? Do you want an outdoor kitchen?
Right.
Is this an outdoor living room?
Would you use an outdoor kitchen? So many people like the idea, the visual of it, but then they're like, I'm gonna use that two times a year.
I want a built-in grill.
Yeah. Oh.
Start at $2,500, not counting the veneer work and the countertop.
Oh, easy.
$2,500
just for the grill. Yeah. Right? Just for the grill. A good
people
grill.
People don't, and that's a low-end one.
Right.
So people don't realize when you say I want a built-in. And here's the thing with grills: grills today are so fast in cooking that you put all this time and money into them, and like whether you're cooking steak or whatever, max 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And the food's done.
True. It's very true. I mean, I have a pretty medium-sized grill because I cook mainly in the pizza oven, as you know, like you.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the here's the other thing, too, about the backyard is how many people, you know the trend right now. The trend right now is to make your home your castle. It just is. People, they like to go and, well, it all comes down to, do you like to travel? Do you like to go on vacations? Then you save your money for that.
Mm-hmm.
Why build the patio? Because you're never going to be there. But some people just love to come home.
But
they like to come home.
But
what?
It's almost a necessity for any home you live in for resale value.
To have some type of living space.
To have some kind of outdoor living space.
That's true.
I've talked to a lot of realtors and they say it's become a necessity.
It is. It's a trend. It is a trend. But again, you got to be true to yourself. It's that whole thing of you looking in the mirror, Dean, which you've done this last year. I'm so proud
of
you.
A lot.
You've done it a lot.
Especially after the Botox.
Yeah, the Botox.
I'm smiling right now.
Yeah.
You can't tell, but I'm smiling.
Your lips aren't even moving. But, you know, it's that whole thing of you going, okay, what do we really need? What do I really want? You know, but I understand that you're going to, the money you're going to put into it is going to do nothing but increase the value of
your home.
You know
what my favorite design, and you know this. I love Tuscan design.
You do.
You know why Tuscan design works for me? It brings in all the elements, wood, metal, and stone, and plantings, but it's simple. It's a family design.
Mm.
Like that's the Italian thing to where it's not this big mausoleum with all these things and it's simple, but it all works and it still feels high end when you're done. It's all the beautiful elements together. But it's simple.
There's
and
a
it's
lot
comfortable.
Of, there's a lot of European designs that are more free-flowing than American designs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of American, too, that have, and that brings up the word hardscaping. Because hardscaping is the trend now, too. You know? I mean, and hardscaping is when you're putting more of the landscape products in with the hardscape products like stone and brick and concrete pavers. You know all that. But you and I would always try to make sure that nothing felt confined, forced, like
or
a
overdone.
Overdone, like a
look
sample.
Look, I made
area.
A lot of money last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at the dolphins spitting out water. I made it. I always promised myself when I make it, I'm going to have a dolphin spitting water in my backyard.
And my patio's 8 feet by 6 feet, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
So yeah, let's start with the basics, okay? So if you're thinking of doing outdoor kitchen, function and flow, right?
Okay.
Those are good points.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Now you're like, I don't cook a lot, and so I want something really relaxing, an outdoor living room, right?
Okay.
So usually with an outdoor living room, there's some kind of fire element to that.
There needs to be, yes.
Right.
Right.
So a lot of times in designs I've seen where they do a patio area and they incorporate the fire pit in that area. What people don't realize is the average Adirondack chair will take up about 4 feet of living space around the
well, you
the
and
fire
I know.
Pit.
A standard fire pit with seating on both sides is a 12-foot by 12-foot
minimum.
Area minimum.
Because 144 square feet.
Just for that.
Off your patio.
Right. For a
so if you're
and
doing
a
300-square-foot patio, subtract
patio.
144 yeah. square feet,
right.
And that's what you have for your living area.
Exactly. But I will say, you know, there's a lot of choices other than Adirondack chairs. You've seen those beanbag chairs that belong
outside
by Sunbrella. The kids love them. You pick them up and you move them around. And
yeah, but that's a problem with our family, because if you get some of our relatives in those beanbag chairs, you got to rent a crane to get them out. You know that. And that's
again,
the truth.
We're not going down this road.
True. And for a lot of people out there with Italian heritage, you have some of those relatives that if you put them in one of those beanbag chairs, they're there for a long time.
Do you remember the Saturday Night Live skit called The Wide Ends?
Hey, Joey, get the chain. We'll get up to the four-wheel drive. We got to get Vinny out of the chair.
Yeah. Do you remember that the Wide Ends on Saturday Night Live? That was
exactly.
A good one. Or that moment where you look in the mirror at yourself and you're like, I got my mother's ass.
Exactly. Exactly.
But
so,
all right,
wait, go the
no
way.
I want to talk about one thing about the function.
If you mention feng shui, I'm out.
I hate feng shui.
Okay, good.
I mean, you said the word flow.
I'd like a glass of Chardonnay and some feng shui.
When have I ever used that word?
Okay, I thought it was.
You
used
the word flow. I'm like, flow.
Flow works.
Flow
works. You got to admit it.
Yeah,
it works.
Just talk about function. Stop with the Pollyanna stuff. Listen, if you have this idea. When you think about a multi-function space, because, you know, like yours and mine are that. Yours is smaller than mine. My patio is about 600 square. I got the fire pit. I have that fire pit area, which eats up.
A lot.
144.
Because you made a massive fire pit.
I did.
What's the circumference of that thing? 8 feet?
No, it's like six.
Yeah, you could burn a body in that. But look at me. Look what I made.
But it's only 14 inches high.
You're compensating for something with your fire pit?
I think it works.
Where's Dr. Ruth?
She's on the network.
Okay,
Dr. Ruth. I think that it fits in the rustic space that I have.
No,
it does.
Because you have enough patio space.
I built that fire pit first.
Yes.
And I built it far enough away from the house. But then we have the dining table, which is just we went with Home Depot with that dining table. We didn't go major high end on that furniture. And we have the pizza oven at Kitty Corner, right? But what I'm trying to say is I knew it was a multi-function space.
Right.
So how long did it take me to build that?
A long time.
22 years.
But you had a plan.
I had a plan. So what do you and I, when we talk to customers, what do we tell them?
Have a map.
Right. But
there's
a phrase we use.
Have a map with your plan.
Phasing it out. You and I say this all the time.
For budget
Phase it out. But not only for budget.
But that's why the map helps you, because once again, people fall in love with the product.
Right.
They do a stone patio and they don't think about that. We're going to do a built-in grill or a pizza oven next. And all of a sudden the patio you did 2 years ago doesn't work. You rip it out, pay someone to rip it out, redo it. And you've already paid double for it because you didn't have a plan and a map to know where you're going step
by step.
And
here's a practical thing about a map. You know what we do? We grab a large piece of graph paper, and we use those squares. It sounds silly, but they're either 6 inches or 12. We usually make them six, so two of those squares makes a foot. And we would map something out from a bird's eye point of view, so at least we would know where we're going, and the customer would know where we're going. We wouldn't spend a lot of money on a CAD, and some people love to do that stuff, and that's fine. But we're very practical with our designs, and we would just take that spray paint, the marker, and we'd go outside, and we'd start. This is the flow of how it's going to work.
Thank you.
And all
that stuff. It's a good word. I told you. Yeah. And it's what we all have our different things. We all use our backyards differently.
We do.
And you really got to get specific. When you start talking to contractors, or when you come into a place like our showroom, you should be able to answer the simplest questions right off the top.
Yeah.
Do you entertain? How are you going to entertain? Well, I don't cook a lot, but I want this to be a living area, but we love wine.
Yeah,
so we want like a wine bar.
You know what happens, Dean? You know what happens is people go to someone else's backyard and go, I love this backyard. This is what I want, honey. This is what I want, sweetheart. This is what I want.
Honey, you haven't cooked a freaking meal for me in 25 years, and you want a pizza oven.
Right.
You can't even go to a pizza place and order it right.
And then they go back home, and then they call you up, and you're like, oh, you built this for the Johnsons, and here we are. And this, and you're like, this is not for you after talking to them, right? And they have to have that conversation.
The most amazing pizza oven we ever built was a $25,000 pizza oven with a slate roof and copper. It lasted a month because the wife who cooked the pizza, they got a divorce. She left the house and the thing's sitting there. I swear I have fantasies getting a backhoe and lifting that sucker out and dropping it.
That thing was gorgeous.
Can you imagine? That's exactly right.
I know.
That's exactly
That's
right
true.
With that.
But she was a cook.
She was.
She was a great cook.
But
it still is.
Yeah.
You know, still is.
He was cooking somewhere.
But the
else.
phasing out section, Dean, I just want to get this clear. Because how many times have customers pushed it with their husbands or their wives? They push the budget. They want to get it all done at once. They make choices along the way where you know they're not happy, but they're pushing it. You know, they have a deadline in their head, or they want it all done by such and such a date. And we're like, listen, guys, You don't seem to be happy with the wall products yet. You don't seem to know what you want for that. Why don't we build that in the fall?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just give you your patio for now. Let's take a break. And within one or two or even three seasons, you'll have the most amazing space. You'll enjoy the process, which you should enjoy it, don't you think?
Yes.
Because what happens is they get into these battles and who's stuck in the middle? You and I,
right?
And we're trying to please everybody, and it's because they're pushing it. And they feel this tick-tock, tick-tock.
So if you have your map,
yeah,
and you know to phase it out, budget-wise, or just being smart.
It helps the budget, too.
It does.
It really does.
It does.
No credit cards.
And no credit cards.
Right.
Equity lines, yeah. I don't feel, I mean, it is going back into
it
your house.
It is going into your house. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I don't. It's not like you're taking it and going on a vacation.
But then you start educating yourself on product.
Yeah.
How many people that live in a middle-class neighborhood want to do like the most expensive stone for their patio?
Right.
Crazy.
Right.
Because nobody notices your patio.
Okay.
The only bang you get for your buck with stone patios is if you have a gorgeous backyard with a pool and you have this gorgeous stone, the giallo that we have, the stone that built Venice and stuff, that you get your bang for your buck.
Right.
You don't get a bang for your buck. Once, if you have a 12 by 12 patio and you put furniture on it, nobody notices your patio. They'll notice it if there's weeds growing out of the joints or it's heaved in the winter and you never fixed it. Nobody noticed your patio.
I think people notice the patio when they start seeing the other work around it.
It's an element.
But it's an element
of
everything else.
It's not the star of the show.
No.
My backyard
feels
like Tuscany. I have privacy trees. I have this really cool weeping birch
tree. Yeah, that weeping birch looks pretty good.
Isn't that awesome? I've trained it to be
that. Yeah, and you've trimmed it and everything.
So when people walk in, they unconsciously, I have all the cool plants and stuff around. It's very nooky, right? You see my pizza oven?
Yep.
The second thing people notice is my $15 lights that I have strung up around driftwood in my planting. And it hit me.
Yeah.
I have gorgeous travertine on my patio.
Nobody looks at it.
Nobody notices
it. I know.
They don't. It totally fits with the Tuscan thing. It's got moss. It looks old. It's awesome. It's a great element. Nobody notices that. They notice the Tuscan lights that I took driftwood and I put it in little concrete pots underneath my planting area and I strung it around Tuscan lights.
Yeah, I know.
They noticed that. It hit me. It's like...
And where did we get those lights?
From Target.
Target and Walmart, right?
And they're awesome.
I strung them down from the peak to make it feel like that kind of umbrella thing. And
it works.
It works beautifully.
It works.
They're unbelievable.
But that to me, it made me reinforce my designs.
Yeah, but
simpler. It's elements.
Okay, but you chose travertine. Why?
Yeah.
Why'd you choose travertine?
Because I got it really cheap because of the TV show.
But wait
a
second.
I wanted
travertine.
Yes, because that's very Tuscan. You don't see concrete pavers in a
Tuscan
design.
You got a deal for it or not,
no.
You wanted travertine.
I wanted it.
Okay.
Because it fit what I was doing.
It was
an element.
It was an element. And you waited. You put the travertine in first, and then you waited to do the other things.
Yes.
Back to... phasing it out.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I think too many people get wrapped up and not even knowing that's an option.
But be smart with your budget, because I tell people all the time, Derek and I could build you the most gorgeous giallo, travertine, whatever patio ever seen.
Right.
Our patio is just a stone patio without plantings, really cool furniture.
Yeah.
And outdoor lighting.
True.
It's just a stone patio.
Right.
If you just do a stone patio with bunch of grass around it, doesn't matter how beautiful the stone is, you're never going to get the bang of the buck for what you've invested in it. It's the other elements. So if you can save a little money on your patio and put it into outdoor lighting, plantings, and those other elements, furniture, you can buy furniture at some places, it will last you a year.
Right.
Other places, start going out to price it. Little more expensive, right?
Absolutely.
It's an investment. A lot of people that I've seen run out of their budget when it comes time to buy those things or add those things.
No, that's very true. And that's one of the things that you and I try to do in that first meeting with people. Because, you know, as we always say this, that first meeting tells us everything.
Yes.
But the phasing it out, the function of the place, the phasing it out, and then starting to talk about products. And here's another thing that Dean and I would never do. We never talk about budget. Never.
No.
That's the last thing we talk about. Because we want to know what it is that you're dreaming about. What is it that, you know, what are the colors you're thinking about? What's the feeling of the space? You know, how do we stay authentic and true to who you are, as well as true to the architecture of your home, and make sure that we're starting to work in that realm first? Then we start looking at budget and stuff, because if we don't know those answers and everybody's making decisions on budget right away, then we, you know, we're probably going with cheaper products here and there when we're like, well, you know, you should look at the travertine for here.
Yes.
Or you should look at the giallo, or you should look at it at regular flagging because your gardens, you're a garden person, you want steppers and thyme to grow in there and the joints and all that. This is what you will be happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't talk about those things and you just keep thinking about budget, then you're already going to be cutting your hands off. You know, it's like you're not creating.
So the elements that space I like to throw in, even though it's a Tuscan thing, but it works in anything. Wood, metal, and stone.
Yep.
Some kind, I agree. Some piece of each. And stone doesn't have to be a stone patio. Stone could be boulders like we've used in design.
With seagrass.
Yeah, stone could be, if you're doing a bar.
Seagrass.
Exactly, seagrass. He throws that out there because he says every design
he does. Every time I hear him talking to somebody at Plymouth Quarries about their backyards, he goes, so you could get some boulders and seagrass.
Sedum. Montauk daisies.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm into stuff you don't have to maintain.
That's true.
I am not into having to water every single night or have irrigation.
No, that's true. I agree with that.
It's
simple stuff that adds
all elements. Okay. It's like Nani's cooking.
Yep.
Could she ever give you a recipe?
No.
A pinch, a fist, pinch, of that. Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Right? But when it was all together,
yeah,
it totally worked.
It totally
and
worked.
There was not one star of the show.
No.
It all
came together.
To each other,
right? Every Sunday.
So if I can get people thinking that way.
Okay, wait a minute. How many times do people come in with a piece of the siding of their house?
Oh, they're roofing shingles.
Or they go, here, I need something to match this. I'm like, no, you don't.
And you know what my answer is?
Yeah.
We don't sell pink or purple stone. Everything is earth tone. So no matter what you pick, it's not a wrong choice.
Right. It's true.
Look in your backyard. You have green, brown, yellow, red. Right?
How many times does someone come in with a gray piece of siding or paint? They're like, I need a gray.
I need to match this.
I need to match. I'm like, no, you need to contrast it. You need to complement it. It's like cousins. See what I did there?
Yeah, you kind of threw that in.
So it's true, though. You know, and it's like, okay, I'm glad you brought that in, but I'm going to give you samples to take home, which is another thing, too. Mm-hmm. Take samples home. You might fall in love with something at the quarry or in anybody's display area. You bring it home, and it's like, oh, I don't really care
for
that color.
And that's a great point. Educate yourself.
Right.
Don't expect your contractor to educate you. That's part of their job, showing you products.
But you know there's a big debate about that. You know that. You know that there are plenty of guys and women out there, designers and contractors, that said to us over the years, you educate your clients too much. You give them too much power.
Well, then I am.
Remember
my
that?
Is,
don't you remember that?
My answer is, you're upset about that because you freaking lie to a lot of your clients. And if you send somebody in here to think I'm going to carry you're going to the wrong place.
Some of them may not be lying, but it's an old world school of thinking.
It's a different world, though.
Yeah, it is a different world.
It's a different world.
We always felt that the more we educated you, the better choices you could make.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know where your money's going, right? I mean, wouldn't you want that?
Yes, but that was part of our business plan, too, because
right.
If we spent all this time educating the homeowner or the contractor
right.
or the architect, because products change so much, architects have a hard time keeping up with it. When we show up on the job, nobody's overlooking us,
over our shoulder,
say, why are you putting that there? Why are you doing? They know the exact plan and products that are going, that they leave us alone, and hopefully it turns out even better than what they imagined.
Right, that's true. And there's attention to detail.
Yes.
But you know, when you were talking about bringing in, you know, different stones and different, the biggest thing we haven't even spoken about yet is concrete products.
Yes.
Because they're huge.
And as
they're
a matter,
huge.
Right. And we have a video that we do, tips of the days and stuff,
right.
that we show where you take man-made products and you bleed in natural products with them.
Right.
It totally changes the whole look.
When it
you
comes
don't,
to
you don't have to do all concrete
no,
products.
And you don't have to do all natural products either. You don't. If you can, that's great.
Right.
But
it was like in the 80s when I dated women. A lot of
you
them
You just
had,
said that like you're dating men now.
No.
You said in the 80s when I dated women.
No, I didn't mean that. But some had all natural products and some had natural with the little man-made
right.
products.
Right.
And to me, that was just fine.
And we're moving on from that statement. I'm sure they were large.
But that's a good analogy.
Yeah, that's
go
good.
With it.
That's,
I put
going
it on
with
a
it.
Silver platter
I'm going
for
with
you.
It. But you're the one of the places that you can save money is using a concrete product on your patio that you can have the contractor compact on top of with, you know, a carpet pad
and,
or something.
And let's be honest. Concrete pavers
Phew.
Have come a long way.
There Remember the first ones?
Oh, my gosh.
Remember Dad?
That turned pink after
yeah.
a year?
Dad picked it up and smelled it. Remember? Because we came from the stone world. He's like, picked it up, smelled it. He goes, that's crap. Yeah. And it was. They but tried to look like brick.
The first generation was terrible. Yeah. But now there are four companies, five companies.
Well, we could talk about those companies.
They're top-notch companies.
They're top-notch companies. There's Unilock, there's Techco, there's Cambridge.
Right.
You know, there's a local one, Ideal. I mean, there's all these different options with different colors.
And their colors will last longer. Their products are fantastic. They spec out with PSI, which means nothing to you, but it's pounds per square inch.
So permeability, if you're having water
issues.
They've come
a long, long way.
And the colors are gorgeous. There's I have to say that.
It's almost like they've come too far. Yeah. Because when someone takes one of their books, a homeowner, and looks through it, you get so confused. It's so much.
It's too much.
That is true. Do a couple of pages a night. Don't do them all.
That's true. But one of the things we will encourage people to do if they fall in love, you know, if you fall in love with a stone or a brick and we realize you have walls to do and a fire pit to do and you want to do a cooking area, we'll encourage you to look at a concrete paver.
Mm-hmm.
Because
if the other ones aren't in your budget.
Yeah, of course. But concrete with natural
beautiful
is a gorgeous look.
Beautiful.
Because you know, you and I are always looking at color and textures. How many times would you see someone go, I want a brick patio with a cobblestone border and I want a brick wall with a cobblestone top or a brick wall with cobblestone in the design and then a brick top. You're like, it's too brick. It's too cobblestone. Everything's deleting itself.
Yes.
We need contrast. We need texture. We need things that are kind of complement each other.
Well, you bring up a good point. What was our design thing? Rule of thumb with different products.
Three hardscape. No more than three, right? No more than three.
When you do four, it starts looking at it like a display at the Plymouth Course.
And that's the same thing, too, if it's all concrete.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a concrete paver, a concrete border, a concrete wall, a concrete cap, and you're like, I got to really fight hard. You and I would always bring in boulders instead of doing a concrete column. We'd bring a boulder
I
in
love,
and scribe.
And you make fun of me,
block.
But I love boulders in design.
No, I don't. I love
they
boulders.
They add an element. I love raising fire pits above the patio a little with this large, like those big landing stones.
Who
we
introduced
have
you to boulders?
Them.
Who introduced you to boulders?
Oh, you're going
to
say you?
It was me. You never worked with boulders until I started working with boulders.
We worked with boulders because it became a necessity.
I remember the day you and I were looking at a pile of boulders and I said, we should start working with these. And you said, okay. You didn't say that. You see, you forgot.
Yes. My whole life is because of Derek.
I didn't say it was a whole life.
Thank
you. But boulders make it so much better if you use them the right way.
And because of you all those years calling me a fat kid, that's why I took steroids
again.
In the 80s. Thank you. Thank you. I have no liver or kidneys, but thank you. Thank you.
Therapy has been so good for you. Therapy has been so good for you.
No, that's true, though. The boulders are a great element. And I feel like we should just do a quick recap where function, flow, what you want.
Products.
Map.
Yep.
Plan.
Map. Yep.
Product research.
Then talk about budget.
Then talk about budget.
Right.
Do all your research, everything. Furniture, whether you want fire pits or outdoor fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into the outdoor fireplace, and I'll tell you why.
Mm.
It usually blocks some kind of view.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
They don't throw off a lot of heat, so you only have like a half moon around the fireplace, where a fire pit, you have completely around the circle.
But how many times when you're cooking in your pizza oven, it's the end of the night, you're not cooking anymore, and the fire is just glowing, right? And everyone's just sitting around and having wine and talking. That is like a little mini fireplace. And I got to say, it's nice. Because the fire pit can
get
smoky.
Yes, but how many people consider it? Well, that's another subject.
Right.
We'll talk about gas and wood.
Right.
But just for me, like sometimes a beautiful fireplace in a backyard looks fantastic and stuff. I'm more into the function. And I'm not saying it's a bad choice, but if you did a natural gas that throws off a lot of heat, then that's a different story. But if you're a wood burner.
This is you forcing what you like. Because some people just love the fireplace. That's all they want. They just want the ambience of that. Ambience?
And it's not ambient.
It's ambience. Ambience, right?
Welcome back to Dean and Derek Destroying the English Language. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on? Some people, you know, like what about, remember in, down in Marshfield,
mm-hmm.
up in the hill?
Yes.
The state trooper.
Yes.
Him and his wife. They just wanted that
fireplace.
Yes,
and I'm not saying
they like wine. They like to sit
there
and
just
relax.
So it's creating atmosphere. It's not throwing off a lot of heat. If that was a gas one, that would throw off a lot more heat than wood.
You know what's nice about an outdoor fireplace is going
atmosphere.
In. It is, but going and grabbing a sweater in the fall
and
sitting there.
Fine. It's atmosphere. Yeah. But if you really want something that's going to throw off a lot of heat,
It would be a fire pit.
It would be a fire pit or gas. The gas inserts are incredible right now. The
people love that crackling of the
wood.
They
do, but I'm gonna talk about why. And I was always a purist, but I've changed.
Uh-oh.
Even in your house, you're not on the water or anything. You're on the little pond there, right?
Right.
Whenever the wind shifts, somebody's always moving a chair because the smoke's blowing in their face.
On a fire pit.
Yes.
Yes.
And sometimes fireplaces.
Sometimes.
Though, the way they draft, because you can't build a big smoke chamber, sometimes the slightest wind can create a funnel.
But if you have a fireplace, if you're doing an outdoor fireplace, folks, a deep, extra deep firebox. There's a lot of fireplace.
The slightest wind creates a funnel, right?
There's a lot of kits out there, if you're going to go with the kit system that you veneer, that are shallow on that box. And when we talk about a firebox, that means from the face of the fireplace to the back where you light the fire. I say at least 24 inches.
Yes, I could agree with you.
Outdoors, we might even go as deep as 30.
Right. How many times have we seen outdoor fireplaces where the slightest wind creates like a funnel. And the smoke billows out the firebox and not up the flue?
Absolutely.
Right?
No, I agree with you.
So it goes back to my wood thing. I think wood's great, but I tell especially husbands and wives and couples that come in all the time, you will use a fire pit so much more if you just turn on the gas and light it.
True.
You and your spouse, when the kids are asleep,
right,
on a beautiful night, would sit out there. You don't have to have 10 people in your
because
backyard.
Because you can put on a low flame and just create whatever
you want.
So
if you're coming home from work, both of you are working all day, you've had a crazy day, to go get wood, light a fire, the wood's wet, it's smoking, the wind's blowing toward the house.
It's true, but you know what? If you're really going to build a good circular, let's just stay with circular right now because you can build square fire pits out of good stone and fire brick behind it with a footer and all that, you're going to be spending close to that amount of money. Even if you had
our average fire pit was 45 to 7,000.
Right.
Right. And people would be like, oh my God, but it's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
It's tons of work. Yeah. You got to do at least a 14 to 16 inch cap.
Cap. Right.
Or if you want to do a solid stone cap, that's crazy money to get fabricated because you're cutting it out of a slab.
But you can definitely do a gas one within that price range.
Yes.
At a different size, something you can control, beautiful glass beads, right? Or even some pumice stone. And
or
you're
even the lava rock, which is pricey. But
Dean, it comes back to the whole first thing, which is function.
How are you going to...
How do you live?
And some people are purists. They're like, I want the wood burner. Right. And I get that. And
like there,
obviously, I would never do a pizza oven that's gas fired. That to me is gross.
I don't like that.
I would never do that. That's the part, the best part.
The best
that's why
part
the food tastes so different.
Yeah, it does.
Is with wood.
That's
right?
True. Yep.
But with the fire pit and fireplace outside, I have to say my thinking's changed. And then people say, well, the kids want to make s'mores. I said, okay, go to one of the box stores, buy a $40 outdoor fire pit, light it up, let them make s'mores. And after 10 minutes, they get bored. They get bored. So don't build this high-end, unit, whether it's a fireplace or...
It's a nice idea, but you know what? The kids like to cook the marshmallows more than eat them.
Exactly.
And then they stick to the patio. And then everyone has these
put
s'mores.
Put it on the grass and then let them go.
Because you spent the money on it, who's eating them?
Exactly.
And then you get fat.
Exactly.
So, no, I agree with you on that one. But here's the other thing, too, the trends about backyard living right now and outdoor living and all that. Water, fire, and cooking, right? So we all know that people love like that idea of having some type of fire element, whether it be a fireplace, a fire pit, or a pizza oven. Pizza
oven's a big investment.
But it depends on what you do. You and I have figured out that you could do it. And by the way, can we use wood burning oven? Because you cook much more than pizza in there.
True.
It's a wood burning oven. So the wood burning ovens, you and I figured out, you could probably do for somewhere around $4,500 and then do the Cadillac for $10,000.
Yeah.
Really? By the way, we've been designing them and how we sell them.
But you have to love to cook.
You do. Because
it's a wonderful idea for people to see, oh, I want a pizza oven.
Yeah.
It's a process.
Yeah.
Minimum
it's an event.
Hour and a half, 2 hours to get it hot.
You split your wood and all that.
And I make our own dough and
the
sauce.
The idea of the sound of water nearby that's not overwhelming is that added element.
Yeah, I don't
Pondless
have water,
features.
But I drink a lot of wine. So there is, certain moments, there's the sound of water, but not like a feature.
Do you have a pee pit in your backyard?
I have a spot.
You have a spot?
Every big dog's got to mark his territory.
Is everything in that area dead?
My wife's good with it. I've trained my boys.
I don't think your wife uses it.
My boys go outside.
Actually, my Ian does that too. He's like, I'm just outside, Dad. I'm going. Yeah. That's true. But I mean, everything in that area is dead.
Yes.
We understand.
Yes.
No, but seriously, the water element, the pondless water features, because you don't have
not
to build a pond.
Not expensive, and they add atmosphere.
They have a lot
it's
of options.
It's creating atmosphere.
Right.
Right? Those big, huge ponds that we did a lot on the TV show.
Wow.
One, awesome, but a lot of upkeep, a lot of maintenance. The leaves in the fall, you got to clear out and... You know,
but you know the insurance sale, the guy that owns the insurance company near us.
Yeah.
He's in Hingham, and he built an incredible water feature.
He's
he
got
loves,
a passion for that.
He does, but he loves those fish. And his koi, I swear to you, some of those koi are almost like 40 inches long. They're massive. But that brings him...
Are they good to grill?
Koi? Grow?
Grill. Like
grill?
Yeah. Like
no!
Fish tacos in
no,
the fire
I don't
pit?
Think so. That's
no?
a terrible thought.
Oh, because that would be dangerous for me. Because if I saw one of those fat things swimming next to pizza oven, I'm like, this could be Taco Tuesday.
His are massive, but that's his haven. That's his outdoor space. So again, you know, you got to know what you want. Or if you,
but
you
know,
even if you don't know what you want, can I say this? Even if you don't know what you want, I hope you know what you don't want.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're not clear as to what you don't want, then you're not even halfway there.
And this is an exciting time.
Why?
Because there are so many new products.
True.
So
no,
many
that's
great
true.
Products
yeah, that's,
out there.
That's true.
It's
that's
not
true.
Like your typical, you know, your dad, when we grew up, we never called it outdoor living, but he built those really cool outdoor grills,
with
you know,
brick and all
brick
that,
and
stuff,
all that
yeah.
stuff. He was doing outdoor living before outdoor,
it was outdoor living
was
right,
cool,
right?
Right but right. now with the products and the furniture and they're more cost effective.
Right.
It's an exciting time. But once again, if you do your research, you'll pick the right product for you.
Right.
And what's good for me
is not necessarily good for you.
Right.
Right. And that's where we come in. And that's where people like us come in. It's always good. Even if you're not ready to, say, build or install right now, put some money into a consultation with someone. As you heard from previous shows, we recommend you contact the supply companies nearby, find out the good designers, find out the people to work with. Just do a consultation with some. We do consultations all the time.
All the time.
And how much does that help people out?
Huge.
Maybe a year before they're even doing the project. Those are the ones that you know they're going to do the right thing.
Yes.
Because they're already doing their research.
And you know what's an element people miss in their design?
What's that?
And I don't know if you use this, but I do. Whenever you do a design, there's always a wall. Exposed side of the house or something that's attached to what you're doing.
Yeah, sure.
I take people and I have them stand in the backyard and look toward their house. And I say, if this was your living room, would you ever have a blank wall?
Right.
No. I said, that's a blank wall. It's not the side of your house. You've created this outdoor room now. There are so many cool things that you can hang from the side of your house.
That's true.
That make it feel like really cool metal art. I got that really cool flag, the battle flag. And
then I
found these really cool Italian old metal signs, like little Vino's wine bar.
You're into
and
that nicky-nacky stuff.
Not
I was
too
surprised.
Much. No,
not the
no,
cheap stuff. No,
like
I don't
one
mean,
of those guys that
no.
goes to a yard sale.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. I didn't say, I mean, nicky-nacky like it's cheap, but you would never like that.
No.
You were always about the big stuff and like the
patios
and the boulders.
The older I get,
yeah,
the more Italian I get.
Yeah, that's true. You're kind of like Papa.
If I could hang a pig in my shed and make my own prosciutto,
you would.
I would.
Yeah, that's true.
Definitely.
You're like Papa.
Yes.
You're like Papa.
Except
you need to be growing chickens in the backyard so you can behead
yes,
them.
Yes, but I won't go into my septic tank to feed my
okay,
tomatoes.
Okay, stop.
I remember that Sunday. Nani, why is Papa in there with the bucket going into the garden?
Nani, these tomatoes are huge.
I got to tell you, John Marsico's got the biggest zucchini on the block. I wonder why. Was that legal?
Did you remember the time that I wanted to build a tree fort in his apple tree? I dragged a piece of plywood up a ladder.
Castrated you.
I took a nail and I'm Papa, what's wrong?
But that's true. Use the wall that's connected to the room.
That's
as
very...
a wall. You know, don't they make like you can take a portrait or family portrait or whatever, and they can do this thing to where you can put it outside.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Not saying doing a family picture
or
stuff,
a picture of yourself
or what. Yes. Especially, I always go back to the 80s.
Paula, who's the guy on the side of your house? Oh, that's Dean. He consulted with us. Actually, he gave us that. Yeah, nice. No, but it's true. You're absolutely right. Because one of the things, remember when we had the show, remember we were working for Jane.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say Jane. Remember her outdoor deck?
Yeah.
Now it was just a deck. She used a composite material. It was elevated off the ground, and we did a little bit of landscaping and hardscaping down below. But she had this, remember the Sunbrella couch?
Yes.
That, by the way, Sunbrella kills it. Kills it with cushions, kills it with all the materials well, we use for outside.
A, wasn't that the ones we used in the show where you push a button and it goes over your patio? And then
oh, that other one too, the arbor. I mean the...
Yeah, but that was Sunbrella.
Yeah, that was Sunbrella too because the color will never fade.
Those are the ones you push the button and right. It goes...
But remember when we were trying to figure out where her couch went?
Yeah.
The designer and us on the show were talking and we're like, the couch goes where it goes inside, under the window.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. Where it goes, right? And you did that, and all of a sudden you felt like when
totally
you walked
worked.
Onto her deck, you were like, am I inside or am I outside?
Exactly.
Those
there
are the
should
things.
Be no difference.
There should be no difference.
Other than the products that can be outside.
Right, right.
There should be absolutely no difference.
Yeah, I mean, and what about outdoor rugs?
Yeah.
Outdoor furniture, all of that. I mean, again, you're talking about
you know
huge categories.
Too?
Educate yourself because you can spend a lot of money there. You know, you really can. But if you did a concrete paver patio with some natural stone around it and bought incredible furniture, nobody's standing there looking down at your patio.
No.
They aren't.
It's true. It's all the elements.
Right.
I walked through someone's backyard last week. It was so cool because every backyard is not the same.
No, it's not.
And the more you talk to people, what they want, a lot of times they have all these crazy ideas, but you got to get them focused. And once you find out the certain elements they like, and then you throw out, hey, the bar area here, let's make it look like a wine bar where we take, you know, that the ocean
the
floor tables
and,
we have where right. That those pieces of wood that reclaim Western red cedar where you take those and you can make like a wine rack.
Totally.
There are so many elements you can do.
Right.
But people, once again, I think if we can just make this point, there's no difference between your outdoor living that's outside the door compared to in, you give it a name, living room, kitchen living room. Kitchen.
Well, that's what
that's,
we're building
if
right now.
You give it
now.
A name, that's what you'll do.
That's what we're doing with the outdoor rooms right now at the quarries.
Yes.
You know, so we're doing that with our 10 outdoor rooms, but it goes back to the title of the show, Under Your Roof.
And in your backyard.
Right. Right.
I got to go.